What a lovely name.
To do, if you would, please turn. We'll turn to Hebrews chapter number 11, if you would, please. I'm going to finish something I started here last week. I don't know how many remember, but in Sunday school, we started talking about diligence, being diligent. How many people remember that? Good. Amen. Good. Somebody remembered something I said. That's good. But anyway, I had 4 points and I had left one undone. And so I said to myself, next time I come back, I'm going to finish that up. So I just want to take a few moments to review. It's good to see you, sister, as well. How you feeling? Good. Good. Amen. I'm glad you're here this time. Last time, she was in the hospital. And so anyway, thank God for that. So I'm going to just take a few moments to review, if that's okay, for those that might not have been here last 2 weeks ago, actually. And then I want to get to a point that I had left out. But I'll tell you, that memory verse is wonderful. Search the scriptures. Amen. One of the things we're going to talk about is the need to get in this book diligently, if you will. By the way, that's searching the scriptures, amen? Not just kind of dabbling here and there. It's getting into the word, amen? And I love that verse, search the scriptures, in them they testify of me. And I think of what Jesus said in Luke 24. You remember on the Emmaus Road, the two men that were walking and they were discouraged because they thought that this Jesus was the Christ. And he began to speak unto them, beginning from Moses and through the Psalms, all about himself. Amen. And I'll tell you, something happened in their hearts as he did that. In fact, they got some heartburn. Amen. You remember that? They said, did not our hearts burn within us when he opened up to us the scriptures? So he spoke about himself from the scriptures all the way from the law all the way through. Amen. Jesus is through here. Amen. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But I want to speak a little bit. What we did 2 weeks ago, we started in Sunday school and we talked about being diligent. And 2 Corinthians 8 verse number 7 says, as you abound in so many different things, and it refers to diligence, something that we ought to abound in. We ought to be growing in our diligence. What I did was I thought of the word or being diligent, and I just made a little statement. Last 2 weeks ago, I shared this. It's being dedicated to a task. That's what diligence is, being dedicated to a task. Amen. And by the way, you and I that are saved, we got more tasks to be dedicated to than just one. That's for sure. Amen. Just being single, you got to dedicate your life to so many things and so many things to the Lord. And then when you're married, you got to dedicate your life to so many things there and your family and so on. So we're pretty busy, amen, trying to keep things going. I remember last time I was here, I talked about the illustration of the plates on the sticks. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen them where people get spinning those plates on those sticks and then they spin the next one, and before you know it, this one's starting to slow down. So you got to get back to that. And so you and I have a lot of things that we got going that we need to keep going. Amen. Especially when it comes to spiritual things, no doubt about it. Just trying to maintain a decent prayer life and a decent devotional life and so on. But what we talked about, Hebrews chapter number 11, one of the first things we talked about, there's a few things, by the way, in the Bible where it really focuses and emphasizes the Christians needs to be diligent and needs to really be dedicated to particular tasks. And in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6, if you'll look with me there for a moment, Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6, one of the things that we need to be diligent about, and we talked about this, is prayer. Amen. We need to be diligent. We need to be dedicated to the task of prayer. And here's a good reason why, if you will. Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. We cannot please the Lord without believing the Lord. Amen. It's, you know, believing in the Lord is one thing. And there's a lot of unsaved people that believe in the Lord. Believe it or not, there's unsaved people who believe there's a God, there's a creator and so on. But they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ like you and I do, according to the scriptures. In fact, that's the memory verse. There's a lot of people that believe a lot of things that we believe, but they don't understand the way that it needs to be understood. Amen. There's some religious organizations. They believe in the Trinity. They believe the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. They even believe Jesus is a savior. In fact, I say a savior because some of them actually believe that, you know, Mary's a part of their salvation. So there's a lot of, you have to believe according to the scriptures. Amen. In fact, I think of what Paul, when Paul mentioned the gospel in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, you remember how he emphasized the gospel? He said that Jesus died according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again the third, according to the script, the emphasis according to the scriptures. The question for every question is what saith the scripture. Amen. Anytime somebody says, well, what about this and what about that? What we all need to say is, what saith the scripture? Because that's the answer for every answer. Amen. Is what the scriptures say. One of the things we need to be diligent, look at verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. We need to seek the Lord, and especially in reference to prayer for you and I that are saved. We sought the Lord, if you will, to save us, but now we keep on seeking the Lord to answer our prayer, to hear our prayers. Amen. We looked at Matthew chapter 7 last time about Jesus saying, look, keep on knocking on that door. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking, because you will eventually find. Amen. We need to keep on being diligent about prayer, especially as we go through the things things we go through, and also as we pray for others as they go through what they go through. Amen. One of the things I liked about that man who went to his friend or so-called friend at midnight and knocked on there for some bread, it wasn't for him. He was being diligent and fervent about prayer. It was for somebody who stopped by that he needed to provide for. Amen. There are times we need to diligently seek the Lord for our own self and for our own need, just like that widow we talked about in Luke chapter number 18, where she went to that judge who had no respect for God and who had no respect for human beings. But this woman, if you remember, she just continually asked this judge, and she just continually, until he finally said, "May give her what she wants." She keeps on bothering me. Amen. And so we need to be diligent about prayer for our own self, but we also need to be diligent about prayer for the sake of others. Amen. Especially our loved ones and those that are in need. Amen. Number one, we talked about we need to be diligent about prayer. And then the second thing we talked about, if you turn with me for a moment to 2 Peter, as we just kind of review for a few moments. 2 Peter, if you would, chapter number 1. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. We also talked about not only do we need to be diligent about prayer, but we need to be diligent about growth. About growth or progress, if you will. You and I that are saved, thank God for our salvation, but we need to continue to do the things that help us to grow in our faith. Amen. Especially feeding and feasting on the Word of God. There's one of the great keys for our growth. Amen. I think that growing in the understanding of the Word of God is what helps us to grow in our maturity in the Lord. Amen. In 2 Peter, I think, or is it 2 Peter? Or no, 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." Amen. And so I think Hebrews chapter 5 emphasizes, in fact, the writer of Hebrews, which I personally believe to be Paul, when he was writing to the Hebrews and in chapter 5, he was speaking to them about Melchizedek. And I think he wanted to really get down to some things and teach them, but he got frustrated. And he said, "Look, you know, you ought to be teachers by now." He said, "But you still need to be taught, if you will." He said, "Babies get into the milk of the word. They need the milk of the word." He said, "But you need to have some meat." He said, "Meat of the word is for those that are of full age," which means mature. Amen. Hey, listen, when you first get saved and you're a babe in Christ, that's a wonderful thing. And you need to feast on the word of God. Amen. But milk should never be enough. Amen. We should actually get to a point, by the way, you know how it is. You can't feed a baby milk forever, amen? I mean, after a while, that baby wants something to eat, amen? And when you get saved and you start, you know, the milk of the word is some of the basic doctrines and simple truths of the word of God. But after a while, you get to that point, you say, you know, that's good, it's great, it's wonderful, but I need something more than that. And you start to get into the meat of the word, amen? And by the way, you continue to grow and even more so. Amen. We need to be diligent about growth. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would, please. Look at verse number 5, just to see this. "And beside this," and that's a reference to the salvation, if you will. "And beside this," beside salvation, "giving all" what? "Diligence. Add to your faith." Listen, what he says is, beside the fact that you're saved, you and I need to give all diligence. What that means is we need to give it what we got to add to our faith. And I'm not going to read on for the sake of time, but he talks about adding virtue and knowledge. And basically that's growth. If you're going to grow, you're going to have to do something about it. Amen. You cannot have a closed Bible in your personal life and grow. You cannot stay away from God and not pray and grow. Amen. In fact, I believe the local church is a great place to grow, isn't it? "They that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." You know why a lot of Christians don't grow? Because they never get planted in God's house. We call them potted Christians. You know what I mean? You know what a potted plant does? It really can't grow too much because it's only in a little bit, right? You got to take it out of that and it's got to get planted in some good soil. Amen. And when you find the house of God that preaches the word of God and you got the man of God and the spirit of God, that's a great place to get planted. And that's a good place to what? Flourish. Amen. And so we really need to be diligent. There's things we need to do if we're going to have answered prayer, if we're going to grow, if you will. And by the way, when we are diligent about growth in our own life, I want you to note also in 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 10, just to see here if you would. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do those things, you shall never fall. See, when you are diligent about growing, you actually are diligent about making your calling and election sure. What does that mean? I personally think this. It means this. When you give what you got to give to grow, I believe your growth is an indication that you're saved. There are some people that can look at your life and say, man, I seen where you were, I see where you are, and I can see what the Lord has done in your life since you've been what? Saved. But not only can we say that about others, I believe we examine our own lives. And we look at our own lives and we say, my, I got saved here, and all of a sudden the Lord's done some great things in my life, and he's changed this, changed that, and he's brought me, and all of a sudden your own growth is something you can look at and say, wow, I am saved. You know, there's people that get saved because salvation is simply trusting Christ as your Savior. Amen? It's what he did, not what you do. But there are some people who get saved, and because they never really grow in the Lord, let me tell you what they do. They live in doubt all the time. Because they look at their life and say, you know, nothing really major has happened in my life. God's not, I mean, I'm not totally different than I used. We need to grow. Because if we do, our own hearts will be assured that we are saved. Amen? So being diligent is something. We need to be diligent about prayer. We need to be diligent about growth. And then here was the third thing we talked about. And I want you to turn with me, if you would, please. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Diligent, being dedicated to the task. Prayer is a task that we need to be dedicated to. Amen? Growth is a task that we need to be dedicated to. And then also, there's another here. We're going to open this up. Usually I throw that in my pocket because I'm getting ready to take the jacket off. It's been crazy hot. Has it been hot up here? I mean, my goodness, 102. It felt like 102 degrees in Philadelphia yesterday. Unbelievable. I walked out this morning to leave to come here, and I think it was 77, 78 degrees. Unbelievable, you know. But anyway, I'm ready for the heat to go so the cold can come and I can complain about that. Can I get a witness on that one? I mean, it's cold. Oh, I can't wait till it gets. We need 70 degrees year round. I think there's a place in Florida that has that, but I think the price to live there is like the few get to go there. Amen. But anyway, that's what I need. I'm sorry to be venting this morning. But nonetheless, look at Hebrews, if you would, please, chapter number 12. We need to be diligent about prayer, dedicated to task. We need to be diligent about our own growth, if you are dedicated to the task of growing. And then also in Hebrews chapter number 12, we talked about the fact we need to be diligent when it comes to purity in our own lives. We have to be diligent to maintain purity. Amen? And look with me, Hebrews chapter number 12. Would you look at verse number 14 and 15, please? Hebrews 12, verse number 14. Follow peace with all men and what? Holiness. By the way, you got to follow holiness. You got to follow holiness. You're only going to get what you pursue. Amen? Look at it says, without which no man can see the Lord. And there's some great thoughts that many people have about that statement, you know, that your own holiness could be, you know, allow you to see the Lord in your life in a very special way. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, we know one day because we're saved, we're going to see the Lord. Amen. But I believe that we can see the Lord in a very unique way, in a special way, see him moving in our lives. Amen. I know one thing. If you live unholy, you may not just see the Lord. You may feel the Lord. Amen. You say, how do you know that? Because I've lived an unholy life as a Christian and I felt the consequences of it. But nonetheless, I'll tell you this also. If you and I don't live holy lives, other people ain't going to see the Lord in us. Amen. That's for sure, right? So the reference of verse number 14 has got to do with holiness, right? Now look at verse number 15 in the context. Looking what? Diligently for what? Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now see, here's the thing. What is the grace of God? If I could give it to you in the most simplest sense, the grace of God is the help of God. And we find that in Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And listen, I believe you and I go through this life and we got to go around so many pitfalls. Amen. I mean, there's so many things in our way that we're all struggling to get through and to get around, and dirtiness and defilement is right there. But God's there to help us. And we need to look diligently for his grace and for his help. Amen. Thank God he can help us maintain a pure life. I think of the thought of how it talks about. Matter of fact, in 2 Peter, we're in the neighborhood. Let's stop by. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 for a moment. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Please. We have to be diligent about keeping our lives clean. Amen. Ain't that the truth? We have to be diligent about keeping our lives clean. I don't think holiness is going to happen by accident. Amen. We got too many things that the devil throws our way to dirty us. Amen. And we really, really have to be aggressive about trying to stay clean. I think of what the scripture says in Romans, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, right? There's a lot of provisions that can be made to fulfill the lust of the flesh and dirty us. Is it not true, right? Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 13 and 14, please. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 13 and 14. Notice what it says, if you will. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, and by the way, in this chapter, they were saying, hey, where's the promise of the coming of the Lord? There were mockers and scoffers saying, the Lord's not going to come back. Things have continued. Nothing has changed. Where is the promise of his coming? And verse number 13, he says, nevertheless, we that are saved, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And what a wonderful thought. Man, we're going to get out of this unrighteous place. Amen. And we're going to live in righteousness. What a wonderful thought. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, because we're looking for these things, he says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, right? That you may be what? Found of him, what? In peace, without what? Spot. Blameless. Do you understand? We have to work aggressively to keep ourselves clean. Amen. Growing up in the city of Philadelphia, growing up in the neighborhoods I grew up in, when I was younger, we would get new sneakers and we would get white ones. Anybody familiar with white Converse Chucks? We call them Chuck Taylor. When I was a kid growing up, man, that was a thing. And they were canvas kind of material and they had a white, and we would get, I like to get the white ones, and we'd get white. And all in my neighborhood, somebody had brand new sneakers. Boy, you'd be able to say, but you know what the kids in my neighborhood used to do? You know, don't you? We used to call stampsies. Anybody know about that? What you would do is you get somebody who had new sneakers. When they had the new sneakers on, they would be walking around like this. Brand new white one, trying to skip over the dirty, muddy puddles and everything. And what we would do, because we were senseless and didn't care, we'd walk up to them and we would go, stampsies. And we would take our dirty feet and just put a mark on there. And you know what happens after that? They say, okay, I'm done. And now they just go ahead and live life. You understand what I'm saying here? And I'm going to tell you something. You and I, we get washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, thank God, on a daily basis. Isn't that right? Our sins, the red, can be white as snow. Amen? We get clean. I mean, I don't know about you. I get clean every day and sometimes several times a day. Amen? I'm so glad that the Lord still forgives us and washes us and cleanses us. And here's what needs to happen, though. We come out of the prayer closet having time with the Lord, having been cleansed, by the way, and we're white. And now I got to go out into this world. And there's all kinds of dirt out there, amen? There's all kinds of filth out there, amen? Just walking through the supermarket, they might have the right tunes on that you like. Oh, amen. Somebody there is it. And all of a sudden you find yourself, return to sender, you know, something like that. You know what I mean? I had to think of something that you might remember. Amen. You understand what I'm saying to you? Before you know it, you're going home and you're like, you know, this is on your mind. By the way, anybody have a hard time with things like that get stuck in there? Old too. Thank you. Amen. I'm not the only sinner around here. Amen. You get that. You know, why is it that those good, the Christian hymns, they kind of get stuck there? Amen. What I'm saying is you and I need to go through this, and we got to be diligent about trying to get through and trying to keep ourselves clean. Now, we cannot be perfect through this life, and we know that. But we can sure try to keep ourselves a lot cleaner. Amen? And that's what being diligent about that is. Now, here's what I wanted to speak to you about this morning. I'm just going to touch on it, obviously. That's all I can ever do anymore is touch on things. Amen? But I want you to get this. This is the one we didn't talk about last week, and I want to mention it now. Another thing we need to be diligent about. Would you turn to 2 Timothy, please, chapter number 2? And this time I will be done on time. I remembered, and also I was reminded. Amen. 10:25, and I will stay alive. Amen. I want you to go to 2 Timothy. One of the things we need to be diligent about, and by the way, the word diligent is not in the verse I'm going to read, but it's implied in this, and I want you to see this. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, look at verse number 15, if you would, please. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 15. It says this, study. See that word? That's diligence right there. That's what that means. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, obviously, this book was written to leaders, no doubt about it. But the application is for all of us. In fact, we need to study if we're not preaching and teaching, but we're sitting in the pew, because we need to make sure that what we're hearing is true. Amen? In fact, I want you to turn with me again to Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. But by the way, number 4 was this. We need to be diligent about God's word. Amen. We need to be diligent about God's word. I find that a lot of people are not diligent about the word of God. I think our soul depends on understanding the gospel. Amen. Thank God the salvation of my soul does not depend on understanding all the Bible. Because we're still trying to get a hold of things. Amen. But I do have to understand the gospel in order to be saved. By the way, that's the key. Prayer doesn't save people. You saying to somebody, hey, pray this prayer with me, is not going to save them. It's the understanding. It's the light of the glorious gospel that brings people to salvation. Amen. But listen, after you get saved and I get saved, we have to understand as much of the word of God as we can. Amen. Why? Because my life, hey, what do we say? This book is the key to our faith and practice. If what I believe, by the way, always what you believe affects with how you behave. If what I believe and how I behave depends on this book, shouldn't I know what the book says in great measure? I cannot just leave it up to somebody else to tell me what it says. I mean, that's the dark ages, if you will. My mother was a Roman Catholic, and when she first got saved, you know, after she got saved, she went back to the priest and said, I want to ask you some things. And they said, well, listen, that's the mysteries of the faith. You just simply trust us. No, we're not going to simply trust you. By the way, I'm not going to simply trust the priest. I'm not just going to simply trust the preacher. I'm not just going to simply trust, you know what I mean? I want to know. I want to search the scriptures myself. Because I need to be confident. I can't live on your confidence. I got to live on what, I got to have confidence in the word of God. It's got to be personal between me and the Lord. Amen. Not just a salvation personal, but our Christian life and our Christian living needs to be on a personal basis. Amen. Too many believers sit in the pew and are too lazy to get into the word of God and to search it and to try it. And when you ask them, what do you believe? They say, I believe what my church believes. And then you say, what does your church believe? They say, my church believes what I believe. And then you say, what do you both believe? And they say the same thing. Can I get a witness on that one? You need to be able to personally say to somebody when they ask you a question, well, listen, let me show you why I believe that or why I do that. Do you ever sit down sometime and say, why do we do what we do? Think about that. Why do we do what we do? Oh, don't worry about that. Bless God. Trust us. Can I get a witness on that one? I personally don't want to be that way. We're in Acts, right? By the way, the preacher, I promise you, the preacher will not get offended if you don't take him at his word, but you search the scriptures on your own. I guarantee you, I know every preacher would love to have that. Do you know why? You'd have a better church. If everybody searched the scriptures and got into the book, man, what a church. Amen? Look at Acts chapter number 17. By the way, Paul, the apostle, he commended people for not just simply taking him at his word, but searching the scriptures to see what he was saying was so. Look at Acts 17, look at verse number 10 and 11. Acts 17, 10. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. By the way, they were in Thessalonica. And when they got there to Thessalonica, man, they had such persecution that Paul and Silas were driven out of Thessalonica. Those people didn't want to hear it, and they just kind of pushed them on. And so they went to Berea. Who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews, verse number 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Hey, they were more noble. They were more respectful. They didn't just simply say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to. They listened respectfully and carefully. But watch this. In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And get the next statement. And searched the what? The scriptures, what? Daily, whether those things were so. Paul commended them. He didn't say, oh, I can't believe it. Was preaching to these people and they were searching and making sure I said it was right. No. Search. Boy, talk about that memory verse this morning. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Daily, every day. I tell you what that takes. Diligence. Diligence. Let me quote a verse for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove it. Test it. When somebody's preaching something and you kind of, it's not settled, search it yourself. Look it up. Look into it. But only hold on to what is good, what is right that was said. Amen. John 8:30-32. If you continue, that's diligence, in my word, you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. It takes diligence to keep on keeping on, right? Continue in the word. Continue in the word. Listen, the more you continue in the word and search the scripture, the more you connect the dots. And the more dots that gets connected, the better you can see. I don't know if I used the illustration here before about the coloring books. Remember the coloring books? Some of you might even still see something around. Remember the coloring books? Before you would color the picture, you would have to go to the dots, number one and number two to number three to number. I know some of the little kids, they got just 10 numbers and they can, you know, get the picture. Some older people have to do 100 and little dots. And then all of a sudden you're connecting these dots. Anybody? Am I? Do you understand? Okay, good. But all of a sudden you get started. When you get started, you have no idea what the picture is. But then you start to draw and you start, okay, just sticking with it. And all of a sudden, as you're sticking with it, you say, oh, it's a horse. I can't. You start to see because you stayed with it. Get in the book. Stay in the book. You'll start to see the connections, the dots connecting, and you'll get to see the picture. Listen, when it comes to the Word of God and diligence, ready? We need to be diligent about studying it. No doubt about it. But then another thing too, and I'll throw this out there. We need to be diligent about obeying it. You know, it's one thing to be diligent about knowing what God says, but it's another thing to be diligent to do what God says. Amen? And by the way, it does take diligence. Turn to Psalm 119, if you would, please. We can't be like, well, you know, if I obey it, I obey it. And, you know, if it happens, it happens. If it don't, it don't. We can't do that. Amen? We have to make sure we do what the Lord wants us to do. Amen. Look at Psalm 119, if you would. Look at verse number 4. Psalm 119, look at verse number 4. Notice what it says. Psalm 119 and verse number 4. We need to be diligent about studying it and then obeying it. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. We need to pay attention to details. Diligence is about paying attention to details as well. Amen. In fact, if you're not a diligent person and you don't pay attention to details, you might not have a job or you might not have a job long. Amen. Ain't that the truth? Boss says here, do this and do it this way. You got to do that. Amen. When it comes to obeying the word. There's a command, which we just saw, to obey a diligent. But there's a good reason to obey diligent. Turn to Deuteronomy, if you would, please. Chapter number 11. Deuteronomy chapter number 11, please. Why should I be concerned about diligently obeying the word of God? Because it's the way to be blessed. I want his blessing. In fact, I can't live without it. Amen. And if I want to be blessed by the Lord, I got to make sure I'm doing what he said to do. Amen. Do it and do it the way the Lord said it. Amen. That's the way to have his blessing. Amen. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. Look with me, if you would, verse number 13. Look at Deuteronomy 13. I'm sorry, 11, 13. And it shall come to pass if, see that word if? This is a conditional promise. I know it's a promise to the nation of Israel. It's not to us directly, but by way of application, I want you to see something. And it shall come to pass if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the reign of the land. And then he goes on. And what he does is, the children of Israel getting ready to go into the promised land, and the Lord says, listen, when you go into that promise, if you will diligently do what I say to do, the essence of it all is, I'll bless you. Look at verse number 22 of the same chapter. Because he reiterates it here. For if, again, that condition, if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which God command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, verse number 23, then will the Lord drive out all the nations before you, and you shall possess greater nations, and so on and so on and so on. Listen, the whole thought was this. The children of Israel were getting ready to go into the promised land, and they had to go in there, and they had to overcome the people that were living there, that were stronger than them. And the Lord says, if you obey me, I'll give you what you need to be victorious. Amen. And I'll give you the blessings that come with obeying me. Now, I believe by way of application, no doubt about it, that you and I can be blessed of the Lord if we'll diligently obey the word. Amen. Do what the Lord says to do. And by the way, there is a caution. We got to be very, very careful. Because you can know what the Lord wants you to do and not do it. In fact, I think of how Samuel told Saul. You remember King Saul? He said, listen, God remembers what the Amalekites did unto the children of Israel. Go into that land and destroy everything. Don't leave anything alive. And you remember what Saul did? He went in there. He kept the king alive. He kept the good things alive and killed everything that was bad. You remember how Samuel came and Saul said, hey, blessed of the Lord, I did everything God wanted me to do. And Samuel said, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep in my ears? If you did what God wanted you to do, how come I hear something alive that should not be alive? And you know what happened? He said, you've rebelled against God. He said, but we're going to keep the best so we can sacrifice them to the Lord. We come up with our own good ideas of why we don't have to obey the Lord, because I got a better idea for the Lord. And he said, you know, to obey is better than sacrifice. You should have did what God wanted you to do, but because you didn't, you're no longer going to be the king. You've lost that. Amen. You remember that? Amen. We all have to be careful of doing good things the bad way or the wrong way. You remember, I'll throw this another one out here, in 2 Samuel chapter number 6, David had overcome the Philistines. They got the Ark of the Covenant back, and it was in a particular house. And David said, I want to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to the city of David, and I build a place for it. I got a tabernacle for it, and I want to bring it back. And they went and they got Uzzah and somebody else, and they put this thing on a new cart, and they started making their way down. And Uzzah put his hand out to stop the Ark from falling. And what happened? He died. Do you know what happened? David was doing the right thing, but he was doing it the wrong way. See, them individuals weren't a part of the family that should have been carrying that ark. That ark should have never been on an animal. It should have been carried by arm or by shoulder by a particular group that God had clearly stated in the Old Testament. And Second Chronicles chapter or First Chronicles 15, there's an account that David said, when we did it the first time, we didn't do it according to God's word. This time we did it according to God's word, and everything went smooth. Amen. We got to be very, very careful to do what God says. I put it this way in the New Testament, 2 Timothy 2:5. If you're going to strive for the masteries, strive lawfully. Amen? Because you could be in a basketball game, step out of the bounds, make a shot, not going to count. Amen? Stay in the book. Stay in the rules. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll bless it to our hearts. Bless the few moments of fellowship. I pray that you'll bring us back together for the morning service. Bless the preacher. Watch over him. Comfort him in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a break. Amen.